Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
I know that some of y'all expect that you're coming out for prayer night tonight, but I'm going to preach. Man, I'm glad that you guys clapped. There's a moment there I was like, maybe they're not going to clap. They only clap for Jay or Ryan or Crystal. But this morning, Crystal said to me, she goes, "Honey, I think you should preach tonight. I don't think we should pray." And I was like, "Well, I don't have my Sunday message done." She goes, "I don't care. Preach tonight." And I was like, "Okay." Hey man, happy wife, happy life, huh? You know, the truth is that I somewhat felt a stirring in my own spirit, just because it's not that I don't believe in prayer, that I don't love prayer, but I believe that the preaching of the word can break the yoke of bondage, man. I truly believe that. In the same way that prayer can, but I just know in my own life, the biggest breakthroughs that I've had in my life is when I was sitting in a church somewhere and a preacher was telling me something that was from the Word of God, and it changed the way in which I thought. And as it changed the way in which I thought, it changed the way that I acted, and then it changed my life. Let's pray, and then I'll tell you what the title of the message is. Father God, we just pray tonight that you would speak through this Word, God, that it would be a transformative time for every single one of us, myself included, God. Father, we know that this is just another night on any other day, but it just so happens that tomorrow is the first day of a new year. And God, for some reason, we like to make plans on first days of first years. Well, God, as my good friend Jay says, another word for New Year's Day is today. And so it's fine, God, but we pray that as we hear this message, that you will stir things in us that would change in us today. Not tomorrow, but we would today be changed, and that we'll begin anew tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of tonight's message is New Thinking for a New Year. New Thinking for a New Year. I think a lot of times people's problem isn't what they do, it's the way in which they think. If you can make your body connect with what you're actually thinking and be thinking the correct things, it will change the way in which you live every last aspect of your life. One of my favorite verses, and the verse that we're going to go from tonight, is from Romans chapter 12, and it's Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and verses 2. If you turn there with me in your Bibles, if you have them, or your fancy electronic devices, if you have those also. Mine's not loading up as fast as probably your flipping of the pages is. You've heard this one many times. But it's a good one, especially if you want your life to change. So it's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect," good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Amen. It's a powerful verse that really describes to me two large parts of being a Christian. One is that we have to give God our whole entire selves, right? But as we give him our whole entire selves, the scripture also says that we need to change the way in which we think. How can we reconfigure our irrational thoughts with scriptural thinking? See, a lot of times our problem isn't that we're thinking something that we shouldn't be thinking. Sometimes the things that we're thinking are so irrational. They don't even make sense. And sometimes we tell them, people say, "Hey man, I've been thinking that," and they look at you and they say, "Man, do you not realize that that's irrational? That you shouldn't even be thinking that way?" Well, I believe that instead of thinking irrationally, we start having scriptural thinking, it will change the way in which we live our lives. Amen? I believe that this is the core of getting to where we want to be in our spiritual walk in life. That if we will learn to think the way that God thinks about us, and it'll start in our minds, and we begin to speak the way that God speaks about us, because how you act is completely connected to what you will get in your life. It's true. If you want something in your life, you have to act as though you want to get that thing. A lot of times people have lip service that doesn't connect with action service. Where they want to say that they want to do something or say that something wants to change. And then you're standing there saying, well, here's an opportunity right now to change that thing in your life. And they say, well, I wasn't really interested in doing that. I just wanted to talk about it. Tonight on Facebook, tomorrow on Facebook, amongst your friends and families, you're going to hear a whole lot of people that are going to talk about a whole lot of things that they want to change with their lives, and nothing is going to change. I know people that have been talking about things that they've been planning on doing for the last 20 years. They haven't done anything about it, but they're still talking about it. Amen. They still got big plans. You're going to find if you go to a gym, this month is going to be the busiest month of the whole entire year. We stay away from the gym in January. We go in February. It's cleaned out about 70% after that. Actions are in direct correlation to someone's thoughts. A quote that I heard said, let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Amen. See, here's what happens. Too many times we allow ourselves to be overly elated or discouraged because of irrational assumptions. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't get excited, or I'm not saying that we can't have bad days. But the life of living in God should be somewhat even. Amen? Yeah. If we're connected to the Word of God, when great things happen in our lives, we can praise God and say, man, that's amazing. Praise God. And when things don't go as planned, we can say, that's amazing. Praise God. Amen? 1 Timothy 4:7 says this. It says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Amen? Yeah. Faulty thinking leads to negative actions about our problems, relationships, or circumstances. Amen? So what I want to give you tonight is a list of irrational assumptions that most of us think in our minds and how to rechange them to what the Word of God says about us. Amen? Because only when we learn to replace, reconfigure, and be renewed with scripturally based, spirit-led thinking are we able to overcome those irrational assumptions. Amen? So what we have to do is we have to proactively look at every situation with the mind of Christ. And this is training. You have to train yourself that when you're in a situation to look at it and say, what would Jesus have me to do in this situation? How would Jesus have me to think in this situation? How would Jesus have me to think in this situation? What does the Word of God say about this situation? First irrational assumption is this. I must be loved and accepted by those who are most important to me and live up to their expectations. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. I must be loved and accepted by those who are most important to me and live up to their expectations. It's an irrational assumption. See, you've been taught that you're supposed to live up to what your mom and dad told you to do from the time that you were born. Here, if you didn't know this, I'm just going to tell you. If you're here tonight, I'm just going to make a quick glance. For most of you, you're an adult. I know we got a few kids here. I said, mom, pastor said, I'm an adult. If you're out of the house, you're paying your own bills, you're an adult. And so sometimes what happens is that we start to live our lives as Christ would have us to live, and we feel like, well, I'm not being loved and accepted by those that are around me, and I'm not living up to those expectations. Too many people falsely assume that their well-being is based on being loved and accepted by all people. At the core, most people want to be liked. I know that for myself, man, I want to be liked. I want people to like me. I don't want people to say, man, I hate that guy. He bothers me. I want people to say, man, I like Matt. He's a cool guy. Does anybody else want people to like him? Yeah. Okay, some people like Grant's like, no, I don't care. I was watching a TV program one time, and there was a guy that bought a Ferrari Enzo, an M1. And I don't know if you guys know what a Ferrari Enzo is, but it's about a $2 million Ferrari. And they asked him, they said, man, why do you want to buy this $1 million car? And he said, when I am with my rich friends, I can say, I have one of those. That was it. That was the whole reason why he wanted a $1 million car. People will go to any length possible to be liked by people, even go so far to buy a $1 million car. Instead, us as Christians, we have to remember that our hope, our help, and our ultimate love comes only from the Lord. Amen. If you haven't realized it already, do you know that people are going to fail you? Do you realize that you cannot live your life trying to please everyone else? Amen. I'm not saying that we shouldn't care about people. As Christians, we're supposed to deeply care about people, but we're not supposed to care about what they think about us. And that's a delicate scriptural balance that is a hard one to learn. But the reality is that we cannot spend our lives trying to please everybody else when we're living for an audience of one. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, so we make it our goal to please Him, whether we're at home or in the body or away from it. Our goal has to be to please God and to please God alone. I remember shortly after I got saved. I got saved when I was like 15 years old. And my parents were divorced, and I go spend weekends at my dad's house. And I guess I just couldn't hide the fact that I became a Jesus freak. And so I remember at a young age when my dad was dropping me off, and he was asking me, he said, hey, it seems like something's happened to you over this summer. I said, yeah, Dad. And I boldly said, you know, I became a Christian this summer, and I gave my life to the Lord. And he said to me, and I remember, I could drive you to the place where we were at because I remember so clearly. And he said to me, and I quote, you're not going to become one of those preachers one day, are you? That's what he said. See, my dad was a police officer, and so he was a neighborhood tough guy, and he probably had dreams of me becoming a police officer, going being whatever, whatever. But it made clear to me at a very young age, his hopes for me were not that I would become a preacher, at least based on what he said to me at that moment. But you know what? I don't care what my dad thinks about me. I care about what God thinks about me. I remember at that moment when my dad said to me, he said, I hope you don't become a preacher. And I said, and it was a lie, I said, oh, Dad, that's not going to happen. As I said it on the inside, I was like, it's totally going to happen. What am I saying? I knew it right at that moment when I said, this is totally going to happen. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Amen. We got this lady across the street that loves to yell at our people. Even this Sunday, she was yelling at Jen Majorca. Jen was parked on the other side of the street, and she said, don't you people have your own parking lot? Jen's like, I'm not even parked in front of your house. We should be excited that people don't like us. Amen. We're living for Jesus. Did you know that most of the time Christ was not shown love and acceptance? Usually he went around and people didn't like him. Second thing, I must be perfectly competent and successful in achieving before I can be happy with myself. What does that mean? Some people are waiting for straight A's after you already graduated. Some people keep waiting and say, well, once my life is perfect, my house is perfect, I got promotion at my job, whatever it is, then I'm going to be happy. That's irrational, folks. Let me show you what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is a good verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 and 6. You can turn there with me in your Bibles, if you have it. Second Corinthians. Chapter 3, verses 4 and 6. Here, let me borrow your Bible. My little Bible here isn't loading up. My kids play this thing, got all the games on it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 and 6. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before our God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. Amen? He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit that gives life. The only competence that we have in this life is the competence that is found in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's God who's competent. See, that's why I get not upset, but I get frustrated sometimes. People say, well, I can't share the gospel because I don't know all the answers. Your job isn't to know all the answers. You know the one who knows the answers. Sometimes I've told you this before, the most faithful words in the English language are, I don't know. Amen. Competence comes from God. Amen. Even when you think you have arrived, you have to leave room for the Holy Spirit. I know many a learned and educated person that feels like they can close the book on their education. And I say, you know what? You may have learned everything that a book can tell you, but it's clear that you don't have what the Holy Spirit wants to teach you. Because competence comes from God. You can't always learn it in a book. You can only learn it at the foot of the cross. Think about this. A surgeon, and I bless God, by the grace of God, I've never gone under the knife. I've never spent a night in a hospital, and I've never been under anesthesia, ever. Amen. Hallelujah. But some of you have. My wife's done it quite a few times. I just sit in the waiting room and pray. A surgeon does amazing things, right? The anesthesiologist does his amazing thing, he or she, or the surgeon, he or she, does their amazing thing. But they're, even after they've done all the cutting and the slicing and the sewing and all those other things, God still has to do the magic of the healing. They can't heal the body. They can manipulate the body and they can do things, but in the end, they still have to leave room for the one that created it. Your body does not work the way that it does because of medication and doctors. It is because God made it that way. If you have Jesus, hear me tonight, church. If you have Jesus, you are competent and successful. More competent than most, more successful than most. Amen? One of my biggest frustrations, people that think because they have letters after their name that they're smart. I will take a high school dropout that has the Holy Ghost over someone with a PhD who doesn't have the Holy Ghost. And no offense to educated people. I'm just saying in general terms, if you are a Christian that has the Holy Ghost, you are competent. If you got a super letters after your name and astro whatevers and you don't know Jesus Christ is Lord, man, you are lost and stupid as far as I'm concerned. Thank God that He equips, energizes, and enables us to be competent in everything. Amen? Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And that's a verse we've heard many times, but I think we don't live that every single day when we're going through things. From the smallest thing to the biggest thing, to be able to declare that scripture and say, you know what, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. It's not my own strength. In my own strength, that's the best I got. If it wasn't for Jesus, man, I would just roll up. Number 3, it's easier to avoid certain difficulties and responsibilities than to face them. If I ignore them, they may just go away. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Most people are willing to pay a price for something that they value. And if you value your life, you have to get this mindset out of your head that says, you know what, I'm just going to ignore this thing and it's going to go away. Sometimes you have to face things that you don't want to face. It's emotionally tumultuous. It's painful in the stomach. Crystal and I say this to each other. We say, don't ask yourself what'll happen if you go and talk to them. Go and ask yourself what'll happen if you don't talk to them. Not what'll happen if I do, what'll happen if I don't. Because a lot of times if you ask yourself that question, what'll happen if I don't go to the doctor? What'll happen if I don't crack open my checkbook and balance it? What'll happen if I don't show up to work? Don't ask what happens if I do. What happens if I don't? Sometimes it's really helpful to not minimize the consequences, but to maximize them. Not to think, oh, probably nothing's going to happen. No, think, man, probably everything's going to happen and I'm going to lose everything. I better go do something. If we really prize being a follower of Jesus Christ, we'll be willing to deny ourselves of everything. Shoulder the cross of responsibilities that Christ gives us and follow Him wherever He leads. It's kind of like mildew. And I don't know if you've ever had mildew in your house. You don't have to amen or raise your hand. We've had mildew in our house before. And man, that thing's a bugger. It's hard to get out. Did you know if you have mildew and you just put something on top of it, it doesn't make it go away? Did you know that if you have mildew and you try to paint over it, it doesn't just go away? Ask me how I know this. You got to spray it with bleach. You got to disinfect. You got to get the dirty nastiness out. Then you can cover it. But if you try to cover it without dealing with it, it just gets worse. You have to get to the root cause and deal with it. Because if you don't, they will get progressively worse and grow. This year, there are things that you need to face about yourself that you have never faced before. And you need to face them with the strength of Christ, knowing that He is going to empower you to face them, and they're going to be fixed because you're not going to be afraid of them. Amen. You know, it's one of the greatest gifts that I've been given in the ministry is that I've stood there and watched people die before my eyes. And once you've stood there and you've watched somebody die, you really just, everything else just kind of pales in comparison of like something being hard. I'm like, well, they're alive. Seems like it's going to be a good day. Amen. Once you face that, you just don't worry about stuff anymore. Yep. Once you've lost everything, you don't ever worry about losing everything again. Once you were poor, you never worry about being poor again. You just don't have to worry about those things. It's easier if you just face them, and it's painful. You know, there's a young man that I know that's an Army Ranger. He's an Army Ranger. And I was asking about his Army Ranger training. I said, man, what is that like? And he said, man, it's the hardest thing I ever did in my entire life. And I said, man, there's so many guys that quit. They go from like 450 guys down to like 60 in I think he said 9 weeks. 450 down to 60. And I said, man, how do you get through that thing? He said, every day I tell myself I'm going to quit tomorrow. He goes, and then the next day I go, man, I'm not going to quit today. I'm going to quit tomorrow. And so all day long, all he keeps thinking is, man, tomorrow's going to be the day I'm going to quit. And he goes, 10 weeks later, your graduation. You're like, man, I'm so glad that I didn't quit. But he didn't hide from it. He faced it. He had to go through what he was going through. Here's another one. Certain people are bad and deserve blame or punishment for their sins. Now listen, man, I live this thing out sometimes weekly. I really would like to be God's henchman to hand out vengeance. I wish that there was a special detail for that where God was just like, you know what, Matt? There's a certain group of people I've been looking for to help me put vengeance on people, and I've chosen you. And then I could say what was need to be said. I could inflict physical harm on people. Amen? I was like, you know what? The Lord called me to come to you today to break your thumb in the name of Jesus for what you've been doing. But that's just not scriptural. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said in Luke chapter 23, verse 24, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, people get mad when a dog bites them. A dog is being a dog. You know, people look at us sometimes because my dog poops out while we're on a run. I'm like, he's a dog. He doesn't use a toilet, man. Like, he's a dog. That's what a dog is supposed to do. And so sometimes we're around people that don't know Jesus, and they're mean, and they're nasty, and they're rude, and we get so upset like they should know better, when the truth is, they don't know better. Some people just don't know better. A lot, you get upset with a blind man for carrying a stick? No, because he's blind. It's the same thing with people that are living in sin that don't know Jesus. See, Jesus interceded for people that needed to grow up. He prayed for them. We should follow the example of the Lord Jesus by praying for people instead of writing them off. We got to leave room for God and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Me and Pastor Jay were talking today, and he said, we're a reconciliation church. Amen. And what that means is that everybody's welcome. Everybody. I tell you, man, there hasn't been anybody here since that we've opened up the doors of the church. We've met in the parking lot and turned them away. We've met him in the parking lot and walked him in, but we never turned him away in the parking lot. Dude, we're either in the reconciliation business or we're not. Either we believe that God can forgive everyone or we don't. Either we believe that God can fix everyone or we don't. Romans 12:19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. Listen, man, I'm not able to tell you why that is so true. In a year, I'll be able to tell you. I can't tell you why, but I will tell you that God's vengeance is so much better than man's. Hallelujah. Amen. So many people think they're doing God a favor by ridiculing and shunning people. Listen, when I stand before the throne of God, I hope that the biggest judgment he has for me is he says, you and Matt, you were too loving. I really wanted you to be a little bit more judgmental. I wanted you to... That guy came into your church and you hugged him and helped him, and I wasn't looking for that. I was looking for something else. If that's what I have to stand before God as being too loving, too accepting, then I'm ready for it. Jesus never said, blessed are those who look down on others, or blessed are those who condemn others to hell. Get ready for it. Here's another one. I must be prepared for the worst by constantly dwelling on what may be bad, dangerous, or feared. Some people do this. You feel like I must be prepared for the worst by constantly dwelling on what may be bad, dangerous, or flawed. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We have a 2004 GMC Yukon. It's got almost 200,000 miles. Amen. I love that thing. It gets almost 10 miles to the gallon. And that's when you're going downhill and the engine's off. And they say the transmission of that thing will last you anywhere from 150 to 300,000 miles, the transmission. I'm at 200, amen? And I'll tell you, there's a time of, like, I live in this world sometimes where I'm always shifting it into reverse, and I hear it go, dunk, and I'm like, was that it? Sometimes I'll be driving, and I'll, was that it? And sometimes, I remember before we went on our trip, we were afraid, like, maybe we should rent a car, or maybe we should get the transmission fixed before we go, because we're like, what if we're out in the nowhere, and then the transmission goes out, what are we going to do? And then it occurred to me, if my transmission goes out when I'm in the middle of Nevada, I'm going to do the same thing if my transmission goes out at my house. I'm going to get a new transmission. It doesn't really change. And so instead of worrying and, oh, is it going to go out? We're just going to deal with it when it goes out. I'm not going to walk in fear or wonderment. I mean, I'm not on the moon running out of oxygen here. It's just a car. It's just a transmission. They go out all the time. Why do I have to live in fear because of it? When it happens, we're going to replace it. John writes, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Our thoughts should be filled with what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, excellent, and praiseworthy. Quit filling your mind with a scenario of the worst possible situations and concentrate on letting love overcome all fears, disappointments, and troubles. Do you know that if you worry about the worst and live in fear that you don't even get to enjoy what you currently have? You don't even get to enjoy what you currently have. You know what? You can't stop calamity, so when it comes, deal with it. But until, just enjoy yourselves. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, can I let you guys in a little secret about my life? Don't tell nobody. So sometimes when I go to bed at night, I have trouble going to sleep. And in years past, I would sit there and I would ruminate and think on some of the most horrible thoughts in my mind. And you know what's interesting? You don't fall asleep when you start doing that. Right. Did anybody else notice that? Yeah. Took me a while to figure it out. So now when I lay in bed, usually what I try to do is I try to think about some of my most pleasant memories that I have in my life. And I remember myself being there, and I look at the intricacies of them and the smells and the tastes and the sounds and who I was with and what I was doing. And I seem to always fall asleep quicker and always seem to wake up happier than thinking about nuclear bombs falling on my house while I'm laying in bed at night. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? God wants you to think good thoughts. Amen? Now, one of the greatest blessings that we have is that this church provides Crystal and my family with health coverage. But you know what? I don't sit around reading medical journals looking for a disease so I can go and use it. That's going to hit some of y'all later when you finally get what I'm talking about. Some people are so desperately want to be sick, they'll make stuff up about what they have. Don't ever get on WebMD if you have a sore toe because it's cancer and you're going to die. Has anybody else noticed that when you get on WebMD, it's like, do you have this? Do you have this? Do you have this? You're going to die. Go see the doctor. Just stay away from that thing. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to the doctor. I'm just saying don't go making up stuff in your head. Now, I'm really going to start to preach. Number six, I've been shaped by the past and it's too late to change. I've been shaped by the past and it's too late to change. Did you know that statistics say that if somebody does not become a Christian by the time that they're 20, that they're unlikely to become a Christian? Raise your hand if you became a Christian after the age of 20 in this room. Oh, wow. Wow, isn't that interesting? How could that be true? Did you know that you can restart your life today regardless of your age? Did you know that the best years can be ahead of you? That you may have thrown away the last 50, but the next 30 could be awesome? Don't ever have this fatality thinking that says, you know what, I tried before, it didn't work, it's too late, it's not going to change. Paul said this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past, behold, the new has come. Amen? Thank God you do not have to be a prisoner to the past. And you know, we talk about it being a new year, but another name for a new year is today. If you have received Christ and you've been forgiven, You've already been forgiven what happened yesterday. For that stuff that you did this morning, amen. The stuff you're going to do on the way home, amen. You're a new creation. Let go of last year. It's done. Let the past be passed away. I love this, what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I love my wife dearly. Amen. The first time she amen the whole night. And I will tell you one, and I'm not gloating. I'm sharing this with you because I want this to be a part of your life too. You know, one of the things that Crystal and I have never, ever, ever, ever said to each other, done to each other, is we never bring up our pasts. Ever. We've never brought up a past argument. We've never brought up, remember that time when you did this? Remember that time when you said that? Remember before you met me and you did this that you told me about? We have never in 17 years of marriage ever brought that stuff up. And I'm not saying it as, I mean, it's more her because she's got a lot more she should be saying to me. But she's got a good memory too. But when you're in relationship with somebody that constantly is bringing up your past, you never get a chance to move forward. Like you never get a chance to be like, man, are you kidding me? That was 17 years ago. By the grace of God, I'm going to be 40 in February. We got married when I was 23. I barely shaved when we got married. And now she wants to hold me accountable to something that happened 17 years ago. Bless God, she doesn't. We have to let go of those things of our past. And it's not just in our relationships. It's within ourselves. Quit beating yourself up about stuff that happened 20 years ago that you can't change. You can't put the silly string back in the can. It's impossible. God has forgiven for you. It's a metaphor. God has forgiven you. Forgive yourself. Did I already say forgetting those things which are behind? Did I already say that? I'm going to say it again. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Number 7, it is terrible when things do not go the way that I have planned. This one's for me. When I've kind of set things in motion, I want things to be a certain way, I get really upset when they don't go my way. Can I get an amen? Amen. And it's not, I mean, it's the big things, like when I tried to set something on a counter. Or I tried to like make a meal, or tried to get somewhere on time, or it's never the earth-shattering things, it's always the small things, right? Yeah. Can't find the other sock of your favorite pair. You know what Jesus said? He said in Mark 14:36, Father, if it is possible, would you take this cup from me? Yet not what I will, but let your will be done. See, in our lives, we would do so much better if we realized that, you know what, our plans are just good intentions. And at the end, God's got to do what he's got to do. We can take action and we can do stuff, but at the end of the day, God's the one that's going to bring the increase. God's going to be the one that's going to make it happen. And if it doesn't happen the way that we have it planned, then we didn't have it planned. God had it planned another way. Amen? We kind of have to accept what he wants from us. You know, God has the capacity to make all things work together for good as long as we love him and fit into his plans. Most things don't go the way that you planned. God's never wringing his hands up in the sky going, man, I didn't see this coming. I mean, we're just down here trying to make our best guess, right? I'm like, God, this is our plan. This is what we're going to try to do. And God's like, you know what? I've been trying to tell you, I've been trying to help you, but you ain't listening. So let me just, we're going to set this aside to make you understand that those aren't the plans that I have for you. I'm not saying you shouldn't set yourself up, but you have to leave room for the Holy Spirit to move. We can get so caught up in our plans, we forget that there's a God that sometimes wants to lead us and direct us into other plans. Haven't you ever done that? Have you ever been able to drive somewhere and not sure the exact route to go and listen to the Holy Spirit tell you whether you should turn left or right or take a certain road? And then you took that other road and you found out that something was on the other road, or you saw someone that you needed help on the side of the road, or you stopped by a friend's house because you're in the area and they're like, man, I'm so glad that you stopped by. Man, you've got to leave room for the Holy Spirit. You may miss out on a blessing if you get locked in to think that your way is the only way. I'll tell you, man, one of the biggest things that I had to have to come to terms with is the reality is I told you guys from the beginning we would fail if we moved into that building in the warehouse. I told you guys that, man. I told you it was never going to work. It wasn't of God, and there was no point in us going there. We were only going to be there for 6 months anyway because it was a horrible plan. I proved it right, didn't I? I joke because it was James was the one that said, you know, Pastor, there's this room at my work that we could meet in for the church. We were in the warehouse. And I said, man, that's a horrible idea. I think that's a bad plan. Let's stay in a school for 10 years, move the speakers every week. That sounds like a better plan. And then I had a talk with God, and I said, you know what, God, it ain't going to grow anyway. Number 8, I have no control over my happiness. What happens to me determines my happiness. Paul said this, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. You do not choose what happens to you all the time, but you choose how you respond. Amen. We choose our emotions. Most people don't realize it, but we truly do. It's true. Sometimes we have to really lock our minds into that to realize that we control our emotions, but we truly do. And if you have the mind of Christ, when that emotion comes up, you're like, you know what? I don't think that's what I want to project right now. You can choose to do that. Overcomers have a way of overcoming their difficulties through the empowering of the Spirit and the Word of God. You can go through some of the worst things possible if you lean on the Word of God. Would you please just give me just a few more minutes? Is that okay? I got 2 more. Number 9. This is my problem. This is mostly for me. I just thought I'd share it with you. Number 9. I must find the quick and perfect solution to my problem. My quick and perfect solution is usually a hammer. It's one of the reasons why I'm not good at home improvements, man. Because I go from, oh, I'm just going to take my time to, you know what? I'm just going to get the sledgehammer. It's just how it works. Paul wrote this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 and 7. Let gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Allow the Lord to work out his greater will in and through your life according to his schedule and not your own. God's schedule is usually not yours. See, me, if I was God and he did what I said, everything would happen on my schedule, which is now. Can I get an amen? Amen? Dude, I'm fine with waiting just as long as it's not any longer than now. I'm totally fine. I'm totally patient just as long as the answer is now. Then we're totally good. Did you know that there's a lot of people in the Bible that had to wait? Yeah. Did you know that a lot of things in the Bible took time? You do not have to have the answer right now. And quit asking for the answer right now with others. You know, this seems like a sermon about Pastor Jay, but he's so wise, I can't help but use him as a sermon example. You know, one of the things he really helped me with one time is I remember someone from the church called me and was like, Pastor, we need to sit down and talk, which I always look forward to. And I was talking to Pastor Jay about it. And I said, man, well, I don't know what he's going to talk about. And he said, listen, man, he goes, this is what you say. He said, whatever he says to you, you tell him, you know what? You had the last month to prepare what you wanted to say to me and how you wanted to say it to me. And now you're expecting me to give you an immediate response. How is that fair? He said, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the same amount of time that it took you to work up to talk to me, and then we're going to come back together, and I'll tell you what my response is. Man, I seriously, that has changed my... That's good. But seriously, though, right? I mean, people think about something they're going to say to you for weeks. They lay it on you, and they're like, so what are you going to say? And you're like, I thought we were just having coffee. I wasn't really expecting this to come out of left field. But they expect you to give them an immediate answer after it took them 2 to 3 weeks to work out what they were going to say to you. Is that fair?
No.
No. So I use Pastor Jay's advice all the time. I'm like, you know, that's good. Give me a couple weeks and I'll get back to you. Amen. Here's the last one. And this is the one, man. This is the one for New Year's Eve. This is the one for tomorrow, for 2015. It is easier to keep doing things the way I am doing them without taking on new commitments. Folks, the worst destructive thing to all of us in our lives is that we are creatures of habit and comfort. We accept less than standard things in our lives. We accept discomfort. I remember one time, this guy I knew in college, I went to spend the night at his house for the weekend with his family. And I remember he had a waterbed, and he goes, "Oh man, you can sleep in the waterbed." And I was sleeping in the waterbed, and like 2 hours into the night, I was in water. And I was like, and I woke him up. I was like, "Dude, the waterbed's leaking." He's like, "Yeah, man, it's been like that for years." He said, "Just get some fresh towels, man. Just put it on top and you'll be fine." And I was like, "How do you have a leaky waterbed for years?" I thought he would do me a favor by letting me sleep in the waterbed. I'm like, "Man, you ain't doing me no favors at all." But that's how we are. We just kind of accept mediocre. We just accept, well, it's always been this way. It'll be fine. God always wants to keep us growing, progressing, and giving love in ever-increasing measure. When it comes to the things of God, we can never say that we've arrived. There's never a point where God closes the book and says, "You know what, you're loving enough. You're giving enough. You're serving enough. You know me well enough. Just go find something else to do." No, God is always a God of more. He's always a God of let's grow. He's always a God of let's keep moving forward. Allow the Word of God to produce in you a greater love for the Lord, yourself, and for those around you. This year, do not be afraid to risk loving more. Give more hugs. Amen? Give more hugs. Get hurt for Jesus more. You should make a list and say, "You know what? My goal is to get hurt for Jesus at least once a month." Because honestly, I think if you're not getting hurt, you're not trying. You're not loving people well enough. You're not getting out in those uncomfortable places, because sheep bite. Amen? It's okay to give too much for Jesus. And lastly, ask the Lord to bring every single irrational assumption into obedience for Christ. Then your feelings and your behavior and your thinking will replace irrational thoughts with Christ's steady bearings. Amen? Folks, we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind, but you have to get involved with it. Amen? You have to make a choice and say, "You know what, I'm gonna not think that way anymore. I'm going to think the way that God has me to think about it." Amen? Would you stand up? Would you grab the hand of the person you're standing next to? I just want to say publicly that I'm proud of all you for coming out on New Year's Eve, man.
Yeah.
Good job. Just look at your neighbor and say, "Man, good you. Good you. Good you. You did a great job." Hey, I pray that tonight that the Lord spoke to something to you in this message. And live it out, man. Whatever that thing is, you didn't have to do all 10. Maybe there's just one. Put a stake in the ground today and say, "You want 2015 is going to be different? I'm not thinking that way anymore." Amen. Father God, we thank you for this word. We pray that it changes all of us. We pray that you go with us tonight. Father, we pray specifically that you would keep the people of Faith and Victory Church safe tonight as they're driving, wherever they may be, God. If they're having fun, Lord, we just pray that you protect them. Our whole entire church family tonight, we pray that all of us will get home early and go to sleep fast. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Thank you all so much for coming. We'll see you Sunday.
Nice job.
Thanks, man. It was mostly about you, but, you know, I tried to. I know. I tried throwing a few scriptures.
It's all about you.